you're new to us today, our normal habit is we simply work through books of the Bible, but on our first Sunday of the year, we pick a verse, one verse particularly, that we hope kind of shapes us, drives us, fuels us, helps us for the year that's ahead. And the verse that we've picked this year falls in the middle of this part of the Bible, which is why we're looking at this together this morning. So Romans 15, I'm going to pick it up from verse 14. The I speaking there is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way round to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. Oh, Father, please, we love the gospel, we love you. Please, would you do good things among us today for Jesus' sake. Amen. 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 Please sit yourselves down. And if you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to Romans chapter 15. I think you'll find that helpful to have in front of you. And I invite you just really just to cast your eye down one more time to Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. This is a verse, okay, humanly speaking, that I have picked, physically picked for us this year as we enter 2018. It's our verse for the year ahead, but as we've just prayed, I hope that it's a verse that will do more than just sit on your shelf this year, that it will do more than just line up against the verses for all the other years, and not least because I've made it the other way around, so I've really messed up some people's systems. It's actually portrait rather than landscape this year, just as a really kind of awkward thing. I went to someone's home the other day, and they've got them all from about like 8 years lined up this way. And I had to apologize that they're going to have one that's that way. So, but anyway, I want it to be more than just something that sticks on your wall or in your Bible. I really have been praying today that God takes this verse and kind of impales it, burns it onto our hearts today so that it really transforms the way we do life. Romans 15, verse 20. The Apostle Paul writes this. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. January is often a month, isn't it, of setting ambitions, of setting goals, of setting targets. Maybe you've set a few for yourself this year. We often at January set them all to do with our health, don't we, and our well-being and our diets. But actually, maybe there are bigger ambitions, things that you really, really want to do this year, things that you really want to achieve in life. Maybe there's something that you're hoping to do or something you're hoping to be this year. It's a goal and you want to reach it. An ambition, to put it simply, is just something that you really, really, really want to do, often at the expense of other things that you could do. Whatever your ambition is tends to push aside other things because it's the thing that you long for to achieve, to do, to be more than anything else that's going on. Think about an athlete. An athlete who has an ambition to win a medal at a major event. So the Commonwealth Games, perhaps, or the Olympics. An athlete who has an ambition is really controlled by that ambition, aren't they? It sets the agenda. It controls their daily routines. It controls what they eat. It controls the amount of hours they sleep for. An ambition, something you really, really want to do, controls you. It grips you. It shapes your life. I don't know if any of you last year watched that BBC documentary on Mo Farah. Did anyone see that? It was a remarkable story. But Mo Farah is a living testimony to the way that an ambition can shape your whole life. If you haven't seen it, I'd look it up on iPlayer or something. It's an amazing story. Here is a man who had an ambition to get double titles, to beat all the records. That was his goal. That's what he really, really wanted more than anything else. And it totally shaped the way he lived his life, where he lived, what he did, his daily routines. He even sleeps in some funny kind of oxygen tent because he really, really wants to win those titles. And ambition shapes you, it controls you, it changes the way you do things. Now, to some degree, okay, maybe not titles at the Olympics, but to some degree, all of us will have those kind of ambitions. Things that we really, really want to do. Things that we want to give our time to and our energy. The things that will shape us in the coming year. But as we enter 2018, as a church family, because that's who we are, we meet here every week, we're a group of believers. As we together enter the year ahead, I would love us to set and to share together an ambition for the year ahead. There is something that I would love us, not just I, but I think the Lord Jesus would love us to really, really, really want to do in the year that's ahead. And I want us, please, to share in Paul's ambition that he spells out for us in this verse that we've got in front of us. And what is that ambition? Well, can I put it like this for you this morning? Can we together in 2018 make it our ambition to live on mission? Let me say that again. Can we in 2018 make it our ambition together collectively as one body of Christ's church? Can we make it our ambition to live on mission? That means to live on Jesus's mission, to spread the good news of Jesus's saving help to the ears of people who have not yet had the privilege of hearing about Jesus. See, look again with me at verse 20. Let's just break down this verse. Let's walk through it together. And that's all we're doing as Bible teachers, just walking you through the Bible. Look at verse 20. It has always been my ambition, Paul says. So for Paul, if you know anything of the Apostle Paul, you'll know that he was a man who persecuted the church. He was a man who put Christians in prison. He was totally anti-Jesus. And in a moment of grace and mercy, Paul's life was turned around. And from that moment on, I think that's what he's talking about, the always of his Christian life. It has always been his ambition, his controlling thing, to do the things he's spelling out here. This thing, this living on mission, has been the controlling, gripping thing on Paul's life. It determines what he does, where he goes. It has always been my ambition, he says, to do what? Well, look on at the verse, to preach the gospel. The gospel we've just sung about together. The good news of Jesus Christ crucified for our forgiveness, to bear our sins, raised to life for our justification. The good news of salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone, which Paul goes on about in Romans. It is salvation that one day we will meet Jesus as judge and have no condemnation to fear. It is the gospel of Jesus returning. So Paul says it's always been this gripping, controlling thing to preach that message, the gospel of Jesus, where, have a look at the verse again, where Christ was not known. Literally, that means where he was not named, where he has never been heard of. And I think that's emphasized. I'm really sorry. Someone told me off for this. I've chopped the verse in half. You'll see verse 20 carries on. And it says, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. I think that's simply Paul saying he's so hungry to preach Jesus where he's never, ever been heard of before. Not to some people who've kind of half heard it, but he wants to go and find new ears, fresh people groups. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. His ambition, Paul's ambition, was to live on mission. Gospel preaching, Jesus preaching mission. And friends, as we enter 2018, this is an ambition that I long for us to share in together. It's an ambition that I have been praying as we've built up to this Sunday and towards the end of 2017 would grip us, control us, because it's the thing that we really, really, really want to do this year. It's an ambition that I pray will shape the way that we use our time. You know, we've all got the same number of hours every week. We're all on the same playing field. And I hope that this ambition determines how we use some of those hours this year. I hope it shapes the way we put our energies. I want it to shape the way that we pray as a church family. You know, we're all going to spend a certain number of hours praying this year. How much of that time are you going to give to praying for this ambition? It's an ambition, and I'm unashamed of this morning. But it's an ambition that if we share in this, I hope for some people in this room this morning, maybe for some of you younger guys, may take you beyond our borough, may take you beyond Enfield, may take you beyond our country and to some of the people groups in our world that as yet have not heard the name of Jesus, and there are still plenty of them. It is an ambition that I hope takes some of us this morning to the ends of the earth. And so I want to ask you, church family, this morning, will you make this your ambition? Will you make this your ambition in 2018 to live on mission, to preach the gospel of Christ to people who have not known him? Will we, not just individually as well, but collectively, here we are, we meet every week, week in, week out. We do lots of things during the week, but will we make it our ambition to preach Christ where he's not known in 2018. Now, I'm probably just hearing what some of you are thinking right now. And you're like, well, I'm no Apostle Paul. And that's true. We're not Apostle Pauls. My dad reminded me of that the other night. It's a long conversation. You can ask me about it later. But he said, son, you're no Apostle Paul. And I was like, no, I know that, Dad. That's good. But we were having this conversation. But the truth is, many of us may feel like that. The mighty Apostle Paul, he's got so many books in the New Testament. And I want to say to you, sure, not all of us are going to be called to this groundbreaking, frontline, gospel-preaching ministry that Paul was called to. But can I tell you this morning that as one church, as one family this morning, we can share in this ambition together. We can all play our part in this ambition of making Jesus known wherever he is not known, wherever he's not been named. You see, Paul, if we look at the text in front of us, because I want to be fair to this, Paul had a very unique ministry. Paul, on the day, the time he was saved, was commissioned to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the group of people who hadn't yet heard it. So when Paul was saved at that time, the blessings of Jesus and his salvation had been poured out on one nation, the Jewish nation. And Paul was commissioned with a special task to take that gospel beyond that nation and take it to the ends of the earth. And so just look with me at verse 15 and 16. I have written to you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot going on in that verse, but what's the gist? Paul has been given a very unique and special ministry by Jesus to take the gospel to brand new groups of people. That's the job he has. And then Paul was genuinely then being used by Jesus to bring the gospel to people who'd never heard, literally never heard. Never heard the name Jesus. Never. There wasn't even a Bibles in the form we have them then. He was taking it to fresh people. Verse 18, you see, what was Jesus doing through him? Well, I will not venture, he says, to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. It's Jesus' work in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. See, Paul has a very unique ministry, and we can't be sitting here this morning think we're all going to be Apostle Pauls, because we're not. He had something quite unique going on. But can I tell you that Enfield is a place where the gospel has already reached. There is churches in Enfield, lots of churches, many of whom are proclaiming the gospel. Believers are here. The gospel is radiating out from these locations. This is not unreached territory. But, and here's the thing I want us to hear this morning, in increasing measure, we are rubbing shoulders with people living around us in our communities who have never had the good news of Jesus explained to them. They may know the name Jesus, but they've never heard what Jesus really brings as you put your faith in him. They've never heard the gospel of Jesus. We've got groups of people from nations on our doorstep who have come from countries where it is illegal for you to preach the gospel in those countries. And they're here. With us, right beside us. We have friends. Even this week, I was chatting to a man who had no idea about Jesus. He knew what a Bible was. He knew the name Jesus, but he did not have a clue about him. And so in part, and certainly in heart, we can't we, stand with Paul and say, look, even in our own community, it is our ambition to preach the good news of Jesus and his saving help to those who do not yet know him, to those who know perhaps his name, but nothing more. And friends, what is it that will stir us to such mission, ambition? You know, you've got to really want to do something, haven't you? Like all the accolade. Think of Mo Farah. If we were to ask him, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if we were to ask him, why did you really, really want that? It was probably a whole bundle of reasons. He wanted the titles. He wanted to achieve something great. Why should we in 2018 want to make this our mission? Why should you want to do it? Why did Paul want to do it? You know, there are lots of things you could do with your life. Why make this the thing that you really, really, really want to do and knocks everything else out of the way? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that this was Paul's ambition because he had a big view of what Jesus was doing. Paul understood that actually this is Jesus's mission. This is what Jesus is about in the world. So if you've got a Bible, just flick back with me all the way to the beginning of Romans. Romans 1 and verse 16. It's probably one of the most famous verses in Romans. There are many famous verses in Romans, but here's one we talk about a lot. Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, that first nation, and then for the Gentile. Romans 1 16, what does Paul see? He sees that Jesus is up to something in our world, and it happens as the gospel is preached. Paul has a big view of what Jesus is doing, and therefore he says, I want to get on board with Jesus' ambition to reach the nations. You've then got his own taste of it, hasn't he? Paul experienced the kindness of Jesus himself, his own conversion. stirred him and says, well, I want to make this my ambition to make Christ known, because it's only as you make Christ known that people will be saved. And that's what happened to me. It's his own experience of salvation stirred him to want to take the gospel. Paul preached the gospel and saw it change other people. You know, just look around the room for a second. I know it's a bit embarrassing, but this room is living testimony of what the gospel can do. And when you look around this room and you say, Jesus really is doing something, then it should motivate us to say, well, I want to make this my ambition then. Because if that's what the gospel does, don't we want more people sitting in this room? Look at all these empty seats. We shouldn't be discouraged by that. We should be thinking, great, that's someone for someone, that there's somewhere for someone to sit when they come in from this community. See, that's what we should be thinking and motivated by, because we know what the gospel does. And can I say to you that this will be your ambition if you let the word of God burn it onto your heart. So you have a look at verse 21. Sorry. So he talks about this ambition and he says, verse 21, rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who've not heard will understand. Here is a verse from the Bible. It's a verse from Isaiah, and somehow, in some means, Paul had been gripped by this verse. Now, time is not on my side this morning, but I'd love to take you back and just show you why that verse had gripped him. Because it falls in the middle of a part of Isaiah where it's promising that Jesus will come and he will sprinkle the nations and be, that's a picture of cleansing, forgiveness. And the nations, the good news of Jesus will then be preached. Look how it puts it. Those who are not told about him will see, and those who've not heard will understand. Paul is gripped by the word of God. It's so got hold of his heart that he says, well, if that's what God's up to, this is going to become my ambition, because I want to get on board with it too. We're motivated to this mission when you start to see that really this is Jesus' ambition. This is what Jesus is up to. And we will be motivated, friends, to make this our ambition this year if we see that this is Jesus' ambition because of the huge need that our world faces. Romans 1, verse 18. You don't need to turn there. But it says that the wrath of God is being revealed against our community, our society, our world right now. And that is leading to a time where the wrath of God will be fully poured out. There is no human who has excuse when it comes to standing before God. And Paul saw things straight. Paul saw things how they were. Paul looked around Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, and he saw people, not who had it sorted, but he saw people who were heading for the wrath of God, who were walking a path to hell. And he was moved and motivated because he had in his hand what would help those people out, the gospel of Jesus. And friends, can I say that it is the same things that will motivate us to make this our ambition this year? Can I ask you, what do you see when you walk around Enfield Town? What do you see when you stand at the school gate? What do you see when you walk down the road and look at your neighbors? What do you see when you're walking around Tesco's with all the people? Do you see the immense and desperate need that our society is in, of people perishing, living under the wrath of God, heading for the wrath of God? You know, there are 50,000 people, if I've done my sums right, 50,000 people to the north and to the west of this church building. 50,000 people who are in immense and immeasurable need, gospel need. See, for many of us, those that we mix with in Enfield, it doesn't look like a physical need, does it? Very nice houses, very nice jobs, lots of people. For many people, it's not financial or social need, is it? Plenty of nice friendship groups you could join. Plenty of nice things that you could go off and do and feel part of a community. But actually, can I tell you that the need goes beyond what you can see? It is a spiritual need. It is a deep, immense need. And in our hands, friends, we have been entrusted with a message that can save people from the mess and the disaster that they are heading for. We can bring salvation to people as we preach the gospel to them. And when we begin to see things straight, when we begin to see Enfield Town the way that Jesus sees Enfield Town, then we will start to make it our ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. So will you make it your ambition this year? Will we together, and I do mean together, I know we can make this personally and privately our ambition, but hey, we'd be far better together, wouldn't we? To make this our ambition, to let it control us. What will it look like? Let me just finish out. We've got a few minutes left. I just want to work through this story and just very briefly show you a couple of things. So if we're going to make this our ambition as a church family, what will it look like in 2018? The first thing, very simply, I want to show you from this story is this. It will mean that we have to open our mouths. Not just literally. That would look really odd if we all just walked around. Hi! But I mean opening our mouths. Ambition, desire, what you really, really want to do on its own is not enough, is it? Ambition has to be accompanied by action if you're going to make it come true. So I could walk home this afternoon and I could declare to Emma and my children, I really, really, really want to run the London Marathon this year. And everyone could be going, ooh, what a great ambition. But if I don't do anything about it, nothing's going to happen, is it? It's an ambition that needs an action to go with it. I'd have to fill in a form to see if I could get a place in the London Marathon. I'd actually have to go out and do some running so that I could even potentially make it round the marathon course. Ambition needs to be accompanied by action if it's going to come true. And actually, the same is true for our ambition of making Jesus known. At a really crude level, it is not enough for us to sit in here and go, it's our ambition to make Jesus known in Enfield. Ambition alone is not enough. Ambition is fulfilled as we go and we open our mouths. Look at verse 20. That's what Paul says, isn't it? It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel. Now, we need to understand something about that word, because you probably think preaching is just this bit. Standing up the front and doing some declaring. Actually, the word preach that we've translated here is a word that means to announce good news. It means to declare good news. And any one of us can declare something to others. The shops are open. There's a declaration. There is a really good sale on in Pearson's. That is a declaration. What we do as we preach the gospel is we are declaring a truth to people. Jesus is Lord. Jesus saves. We declare a truth. That's what it means. Our mouths are open. See, a little earlier in Romans chapter 10, this is what Paul writes. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, without someone telling them about Jesus? How are those 50,000 people in Enfield going to call on the name of Jesus? Well, they won't unless someone goes and tells them about him. Faith comes from hearing. Therefore, we must be speaking. Let me ask you a question this morning. How did you personally, come to believe in Jesus? How did Jesus save you? How was it? Was it not because someone had opened their mouth at some point and told you about Jesus? Was it not as someone spoke to you of Christ crucified, the one who bore our sins on the cross? Was it not as someone told you of his resurrection, that resurrection which brings us the hope of eternal life? Was it not as someone declared to you that Jesus is now ascended as king and he reigns on the throne of this universe? He's Lord that you should submit to? Was it not as someone declared to you that Jesus is returning as judge? Someone opened our mouth and that was the means by which we came to believe. And friends, the same will be true for others as we open our mouths to speak of Jesus. The action that accompanies this ambition as a church family is that we have to open our mouths and tell people about Jesus. The man that I meet every morning at the bus stop as I walk down here. The lady who walks her dog every day around the park. The neighbor who pops in occasionally for a cup of tea. The people that run the local co-op down by Gordon Hill Station. Same group of people every day. These are the people that I need to open my mouth and tell about Jesus. We will never fulfill this ambition if our mouths stay shut. People will not come to believe Jesus. People will not know Jesus if we don't speak. Sure, we may not be Apostle Paul's when it comes to speaking. Sure, some of us may feel, oh, but I stumble over my words and I don't know what to say. And I don't want to belittle that because we're all different and we all find things different. But actually, can I tell you that each of us, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus here this morning, has a story to tell. All of us has a story to tell about Jesus and what he has done. See, for some of us, there are gifts that Jesus has given of being able to stand and explain the gospel to people. Some people have got that gift of standing on the street and starting a brilliant conversation. I always remember this when we went out on the streets at Silver Street quite a lot. And there would be one guy who used to come out with us. And for every 20 people that walked past me, he would still be in one good conversation because he was just amazing at starting conversations about Jesus. And I have to say that all of us, whatever our giftings may be, can and are called to open our mouths about Jesus in some way. You know, think of the kind of spectrum in the Bible of people who talked about Jesus. The blind man in John 9. You know, I don't know all the answers to all your questions, he says, but I once was blind, but now I see. You can say that. I can't answer all your questions about Jesus, but I do know that I believe in him. I do know that he saved me. You've got Nathaniel, who's invited by his brother, come and see Jesus. You know, come and bring them to a friend at your house who is quite good at explaining things, or bring them into church, or pop a gospel in their hands and say, well, look, have a read of this. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we can open our mouths and speak about Jesus, deliberately seeking to speak. And that means that some of us are going to have to, if we're ambitious for this, going to have to overcome some of our nerves this year. We're going to have to pray for some of that spirit boldness that we read about in Acts. And say, Lord, please help me to open my mouth this year. Please help me to speak. That's the first thing. If we're going to do this ambition, open mouths. The second thing is moving feet. Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to apply to Strictly Come Dancing this year. But actually, it's this ambition to keep moving. Just look with me at verse 19. Look at what Paul does with this ambition. Verse 18 talks about all that Jesus is doing. Verse 19, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. And then look at that key word, so. Because Jesus is doing good stuff, what does he do? So, from Jerusalem, and it's an arc, if you can go and look at a map, you can see this, it's an arc all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. What does he do? He keeps moving with the message of Jesus. There are lots of places, there are lots of people, hundreds of places where Jesus was not known. And that made Paul's ambition to keep going, to keep moving, to keep getting out and finding new people to share the gospel with. Now again, I think we need to distinguish between evangelism and mission. Paul was going and literally finding new groups of people, new people groups who'd never heard about Jesus, and that's still an ongoing work. I don't want to confuse that. We still need to be going to the nations. But actually, evangelism is the same kind of idea. Here is a community. The gospel already exists in this community. But we've got to be moving our feet to go and find people who have not heard about Jesus. Don't we, as a local church, want to find people in this area that we can speak to about Jesus? Don't we want to think about how we can do that together creatively? We should keep moving in our community, praying that the Lord Jesus, whose mission it is, will lead us to people that we can proclaim Jesus to. We should be shuffling around from place to place, saying, Lord, please give me somebody new to share the gospel with today. Maybe for some of you this morning, having this ambition may actually, as I've already said, take you to another place in the world. But for some of us, it will simply mean that we may have to change the shop that we shop in. Because for years and years, we've just been meeting the same people and we've run out of conversations. Go to a new shop. For some of us, it may mean that we join a new activity in the community this year. You thought about that? Some of us can be so fixed on doing the things here that we don't meet people outside. So go join something in the community, a book club or a running club or a bowls club or whatever things there are. Go meet some people. Go sit in the same cafe at the same point every week. You're bound to meet some new people. Maybe for some of us, it means we're going to have to cross the playground and talk to a different group of parents. Maybe for some of us, it means that we're going to have to go out this year and start knocking on some doors with Steve and with Brian and others who go out. Living on mission means that we'll open our mouths, we'll move our feet, and lastly, you've got a bit of stamina for one last thing. I'm very sorry. Here's the last thing. It means that we've got to be prepared to have messy diaries. Now, just look with me at verse 22. Paul says in verse 22, "This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you." Now, you might think, well, what has that got to do with us? But let me put it like this, okay? Paul really, really wanted to go to Rome. Okay, if you read the book of Romans, you'll discover how much he wanted to get there. He wanted to share with them. He wanted to be with them. He wanted their help on his way to Spain. He really, really wanted to go to Rome. But if he really, really wanted to go to Rome, why did he never get to go to Rome? Why did he never end up there? Why did he keep getting stopped from heading there? Because something else kept moving things out of his diary. His greatest ambition to make Christ known meant that he had to stop doing other things he really wanted to do. He had to push them to one side for a while. And I want to say to you this morning, that like Paul, if we are serious, if this is genuinely going to become our ambition in 2018, then we have got to be prepared to have diaries that get messed up, whether that is individually or whether that is as a church. Maybe, let me just try and paint this for you, okay, and we can talk more about this as a church family. I'd encourage you to do so over coffee, but maybe it's that moment where you're leaving for a meeting at church, and a neighbor comes out of their house really upset and just wants to talk to you. And you see, you sense that there's an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Now, you've got a choice to make at that moment, have you? But I really, really want to get down to the church. I really want to see the guys tonight. I really want to go and do this. But you've got a choice to make at the moment. If it's your ambition to make Christ known, it may mean, I'm not saying, I don't want to expect empty meetings, by the way. Oh, I bumped into a neighbor as the church is like empty next week. But I do mean in principle, though, that it's right for us to be thinking, hey, look, if I'm serious about this, it means that some things have to get pushed to the side. Let me just make this real for you. Let me share with you a story from one of our partner churches. There is a guy in one of our partner churches for whom this ambition was huge. He wanted to make Christ known. He was one of the most committed men to the local church. Was everything. But he had two neighbors that he was sharing the gospel with. And over time, you know, on the odd occasion, he would not turn up to a prayer meeting, or he'd not turn up to, or he'd walk in really late to a Sunday. And you know, he'd often say, "I'm really sorry. I got distracted talking to my neighbor. They were really upset today, or my neighbor wanted to do, and I was trying to get here, but I wanted to talk to them for a bit." You see, he allowed his diary to be messed up. He wanted to be at church. It wasn't an excuse for him not to be at church, but he allowed his diary to be messed up so that he could tell others about Jesus. Can I tell you that both those neighbors are now saved because he allowed his diary to be messed up? That's, friends, what we've got to do. We have got to allow ourselves to be flexible if we're going to fulfill this ambition as a church. And that will mean that we've got to open our mouths, we've got to have messy diaries, and we've got to go moving our feet to make sure that people hear about Jesus. That's what it looked like for Paul. It's what it will look like for us. And so very simply, I'm sorry I've gone on for so long this morning. I really didn't mean to. I'm quite passionate about this. So it's a good thing for us this year. But I simply want to ask you this. In 2018, will you make this your ambition? Will we make it our ambition as a church to live on mission, to have mouths that are open, to speak about Jesus, to have feet that keep moving, to go and find new people, and to have messy diaries, all for the sake, why? For the sake of people hearing about Jesus, that they might be saved, just as we have graciously been saved by him. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together for a few moments. Our God and our Father in heaven, how we want to thank you for those who brought the gospel to our ears, who opened their mouths to proclaim Jesus to us. Father, we thank you that in that moment, and as you caused us to believe, that was the moment of our salvation. And Father, we ask, please, that as we head into 2018, that this will be an ambition that you burn into our hearts. Father, that we will want to be a church family that prioritizes on making the Lord Jesus known to people in Enfield who do not yet know him. Father, we don't know what shape that will take yet in our year. Father, we don't know what that will look like fully yet in terms of messing up our diaries. But Father, please would you stir us so that this is genuinely an ambition in us this year. Father, may it push aside in our lives other ambitions. Father, we've all got ambitions. I've got ambitions. But Father, may this be the one that we really, really want to do. That means other things just get pushed aside. Father, please would you be at work through us, just as the Lord Jesus was at work through Paul as he walked around proclaiming the gospel. We ask that this will be a local church that you're pleased to work through to bring many to trust Jesus this coming year. Father, please hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.